to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. I pray that your engine is revved. I hope you had a marvelous time at God's house this last weekend, and that you worshiped Him, that you got breakthrough in your life. You learned something you didn't know. You got to share something with someone else. You got to be a blessing. You know, God has been dealing with us. You know, I bless you to be a blessing. I bless you to be a blessing. And so we want to do that. We want to say thank you. There, someone asked me here not too long ago. We were having a conversation in the church parking lot. It was one of the local business people, and they said, how do you pay for your program? And I said, well, it's a ministry of Merritt Assembly of God is what it is. The businesses that I mentioned here to you, Wyrick Air, Jits Concrete, Creative AC Solutions, they all are a part of Merritt Assembly of God. And I know them. I basically do this. We don't charge them anything. Some of them do sponsor the radio program a little bit, but we just do this to be a blessing. But I don't go out and solicit from other businesses or anything like that. I had a vendor one time call me and it says, how do you fund your ministry? And they were looking for me to do a fundraiser and stuff like that. And I said, with tithes and offerings. And they said, well, what about this? And I said, oh, we do tithes and offerings. that's what we do. We found God's way is the best way and so we just know these people. We think that they will be a blessing to you if you are in need of something to be done in your home or to be done for your family, for your workplace or whatever. The people that we talk about, we know personally and we highly recommend. So I want to tell you today about Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. Air conditioning or electrical, if you're needing the heat right now, just open your window, for the next 6 months. It's going to be pretty toasty. If you are looking for something, I was preaching a few weeks ago on at Merritt Assembly of God, and I was like, I am so thankful that somebody invented air conditioning to make Florida habitable. I'm thankful God brought me here. I'm old enough to remember visiting my great-grandmother where they did not have an air conditioner. What they had was a big, monstrous unit that it was a water chiller, basically was what it was. And you'd put water in there and it would have a fan and it would blow across this water that was circulating in this monster mammoth machine. And it would just keep it would take 1 or 2 degrees off. And I am so thankful that they have upgraded that technology. But with everything that you've got, it requires maintenance. Your electrical system requires maintenance. Your AC requires maintenance. The folks at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, they can help you out no matter what type of system you have. They will be able to get you up and running if you've got electrical issues. That is nothing to mess with. That is nothing to toy around with. So give the professionals at Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric a phone call, 321-632-9538. Tell Dennis and Carla that you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be a blessing to us. So As I was reflecting on Friday's broadcast, that we ended up with Paul instructing Timothy, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach. That's where I want to pick up this morning. I do want to also remind you, ladies, that Saturday morning, 11 a.m., is when the Let It Go tour is coming to Merit Assembly of God. It's been a long time since I think it was probably around 1997, the last time the women's ministries came to Merit Assembly of God for an event like this. So we're really excited for it to be back. It's been about 20 years. I remember who the preacher was that night. It was me. They asked me to speak. And so I'm not preaching this weekend. The women's ministry team is coming. There's going to be a time of worship. There's going to be all sorts of different things that are available that day. I've been told that everyone's going to receive a gift. I can't tell you the nature of that gift. I'm sure that there will be a time of opportunity to respond. There may be ministry opportunities that are presented on this trip. So, ladies, if you would come out Saturday morning, 11 a.m., I'm sure that there's going to be food and all that sorts of stuff. My wife and daughters and the women's ministries team at our local church been working hard to make sure that this goes well. Come be a part of what God is doing, and we pray that you will be blessed and transformed by spending a Saturday morning and early afternoon with a bunch of other powerful, powerful women. So for Mother's Day, my theme was pioneer women. And so I'm thankful that God has created some powerful women of God right here in Brevard County, and I know He wants to make you a part of that. So let's get back to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 24. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. So Paul instructs Timothy, look, this is a teachable opportunity. And I want to encourage you that all of us are in those opportunities to learn something. So after the broadcast of Friday, I wanted to come back and let you know that just because you don't know how to do something right now doesn't imprison you. It doesn't sentence you to a life sentence of not ever knowing how to do that. Okay? And just because a person has been a spiritual problem in the past doesn't mean that they're going to stay that way. We need to look at things as teachable opportunities, and that requires the teacher to have the right knowledge, the right mindset, the right motive, to make sure that it's not about just making the teacher feel good with the presentation. It is about the reception and the application that the other people are going to have moving forward. And so I need to be learning new things. Several years ago, there was a book that I read, and it was talking about reverse mentoring. You know, my entire life, things have been flipped from when I was a kid to when I was an adult. When I was a kid, I was the remote control. My parents would say, get up and go change that dial. It was a manual dial, and then pretty soon there were buttons that you could push. But everything was controlled by my parents saying, get up and go change that channel, get up and go change that channel. And we were always watching what they wanted to watch. And then when I got to be an adult and I had kids, I thought that was the way it was still supposed to operate until I found out. It's like, well, you're the only one that wants to watch that. We want to watch this, so you can watch something some other time, but right now we're all going to watch this. So I read this book on reverse mentoring, and it says let me preface it by saying this. When I came to Merit Assembly of God as a pastor, I was early 30s. The district asked me to come and pastor the church, and we've been doing that ever since. It's hard to believe that it has been 26 and a half years, because it just goes from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday. And then you wake up one day and it's been 26 years, and you still got the fire. You still got the zeal inside of you. You're still going, and you look and say, wow, where'd all that gray hair on the top of my head come from? So we've been going through all of that. And so what they told me when I first became a pastor is, they said this: what you need is experience. Well, experience, you know, learning new things and gaining wisdom and insight, all that's something that everybody ought to be about. You ought to be on a journey to be a lifelong learner. And so after a certain period of time, and the calendar kept turning, and my driver's license kept showing that I was older than I'd ever been before in my life, and those same people that had told me when I was in my 30s, you know, what you need is experience, now they were saying, you know, all that experience is great. What you need to be is younger. And it's like, that's not something I can do anything at all about. And so there was this book that was talking about reverse mentoring. I've got some wisdom that I like to pass along to people. I had pastors that believed in me and imparted spiritual truths to me and wisdom to me. And I always wanted to reap. I had growing opportunities in my ministry, and I've always wanted to present those opportunities to other people. Don't get nearly as many takers as what I would like to have, but you know, that's just a reality. So I've always looked to do that. They said, but what you need is, you need someone who is younger, who can come and help keep that wisdom relevant, but keep you also in a contemporary frame of mind, so you don't become a museum exhibit. You don't want to get stuck. You don't want. At one point in time, we were having a contractor do some work, and he said, "Well, the Smithsonian called, and they said they want their exhibit back." There was something at the church that was so old, he had never ever seen one of those things before. And so we were thankful that we got that modernized. And, you know, my kids helped me out a tremendous amount in new ways of presenting things, you know, new technologies that are out there. And I'm on social media, not to argue or anything like that. I'm on social media basically because it is another way to present the gospel. So you will find our messages on Sunday mornings going out. We've learned new technology. We've upgraded some operational systems to try and make that a better presentation than what it's ever been before. And you know, sometimes it's trial and error, but I want to encourage you to find somebody who can teach you. It might be that you've never led someone to the Lord before. Have someone teach you. You may never have read the Bible all the way through before. Find someone who can teach you. You may never have been married before. Find someone to teach you. it says older women train the younger women to love their husbands. It really does say that. You know, most of the time when you hear about this the dynamic of husband and wife, and it's the husband being commanded, love your wives as Christ loved the church, love your wives. And But sometimes there's things that we need somebody who's been down that road before who will come along and say, okay, this is how you get through this particular season in your life. So what I really wanted to do to start off this week is to set us in this mindset of learning so that we would be able to not only know how to do it ourselves, but able to pass on that information to someone else. Let's not be the end of the journey for information or skills, but let's pass that along to someone else. Timothy, Paul instructed him to be able to teach. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, and be patient. And be patient. There is an extreme shortage of patience in America. It's really fascinating to realize that you can go farther in an hour than you used to be able to go in 2 days or 3 days. You can get there faster. There are more modern conveniences than we've ever had to make us more productive. And yet we're still in the pressure cooker of trying to accomplish more and more and more. And we're in such a hurry. Get out of my way. I don't care if it's a no passing zone. I'm going to pass you anyway. There's that, all of that dynamic, that road rage, if you will, that goes on, and relational rage and financial rage and political rage. There's so much that is going on out there. And what we really need is to remember to be patient. And so let me bring this truth of patience that the Holy Spirit guides us into. Let me give you a little perspective and ask yourself this question. Where has God brought you from? And once you look at that question and you've regained that perspective from the pit of miry clay that he brought you out of, from that disaster of immorality or addictions, wherever God may have brought you from, if you were financially bankrupt and God has now brought you to a place of prosperity, if you were once infirmed and he's brought you to a place of health, I would ask this follow-up question. How long did it take him to bring you there? Because what we expect is for people to be patient with us, but we forget to be patient with other people because we want to see instantaneous change. Okay? I'm old enough to remember life before every home had a microwave, where if you had, first of all, if there were any leftovers at our house, that was a miracle because we were an eating machine. But if you did have leftovers, you had to find the pot and you had to heat it up on the stove, and it took a long time. And my mother had, she was cutting edge technology. She had three dishwashers in our house. There was me, my brother, and my sister. I mean, we were the dishwashers. And you didn't have the modern convenience of just throwing it in. You know, the other people had dishwashers. We didn't have one yet. Now you can be washing your clothes, doing the dishes. Your vacuum cleaner can be vacuuming your house, all the while you're sitting there multitasking, folding laundry, while you're watching television, learning, and all sorts of stuff. We have so many different modern conveniences. Can we just step back a little bit and say, God, how long did it take you to bring me? How many times did you invite me into relationship with you and I declined before I finally said yes? How many times did you challenge me to grow in my relationship with you, and I clung to immaturity until I finally said yes to moving forward? Let's remember to be patient, because God's been patient with us. He goes on and he says, Timothy, in humility, correct those who are in opposition. In humility, correct those who are in opposition. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves. Okay? And I think there's a connection between the patience of knowing how slow to get going in the process we were to say, okay, I'm going to humble myself because I remember when I was addicted. I remember when I was a captive. I remember when this stronghold had a position in my life. And I want to see, the Bible says he gives grace to the humble. And so whenever that humility kicks in, there's favor there. Whenever pride kicks in, God says, I'm going to have to stand in opposition to that. And so Paul's instruction says, when there are people who are opposing you, you don't want to come into that situation with pride, because you've just exacerbated the problem. You've made it worse, because now God is standing in opposition to your pride. But if we will come into that situation knowing that we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and we come into that situation with meekness and humility, we find God steps up to the plate and gives us the unmerited favor that we need. And he will deal with the opposition. We get the opportunity to edify those who are standing in that position. You know, I would not want to be labeled the opposition party. That just wouldn't be. I had a person one time, and they told my wife this, says, well, you know, my responsibility, this goes back over 25 years, my responsibility is to oppose your husband. And it's like, show me that calling in the Word of God. Show me where that is anybody's position that God's ordained them to stand in opposition to God-ordained spiritual authority that wasn't taken by themselves. They just wanted to stand in opposition. And so, you know, I find in politics today that there are people who all they want to do is oppose for the principle of being in opposition. It was a good idea if I'd come up with it, but because you came up with that idea, it's therefore a bad idea, and I've got to stand in opposition to that till you get out of the way, and then I'll adopt the same idea. I wouldn't want to be in the opposition party, but I tell you, the key to resolution in that situation is not with those who are opposing you. It is in saying yes to the humility that God wants us to exhibit. Moses was described as the meekest man on the planet. He found opposition in all sorts of places. One day, he found it in his own family. His brother and his sister, the high priest and the prophetess who had sang about the horse and riders thrown into the sea, Miriam's song, and all that. And one day they were like, well, who is Moses? And, you know, he's the youngest. And I remember when I had to keep watch over him as he was floating down the Nile River with all those crocodiles and everything. And la-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, he found it outside of his family. And at one point in time, God said, you know what? Let me just start over. And Moses said, no, no, let's deal with the situation. And so there were 12 leaders that rose up against him, and God said, I tell you what, I'm going to give a supernatural demonstration that's going to end the opposition, and you're going to be elevated in the situation. You know what the Church of Jesus Christ needs today? It's not more pride. It's more humility. That those who are in opposition would therefore receive the correction that God has. I was at this men's conference a couple of weeks ago, and one of the speakers said he had a conversation with a pilot and said, how many course corrections do you make in a journey from this city to that city? And he said, literally thousands. I don't know about you. I don't like correction, but I realize that it is necessary. I realize that course corrections are something that need to take place on a regular basis. And folks, if it is something that needs to take place navigating, you know, to get from city A to city B, how much more are course corrections on a regular basis needed so that we make sure that our eternity is where we end up wanting it to be? I don't know about you. I want it to be with Jesus. I want it to be with Jesus. And so the correction is not so that they see that you're right and the other person is wrong. The correction comes where both of us end up at that place of humility, at the foot of the cross, at the foot of the throne, and we worship Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. It really does require a different mindset where we come and say, you know what, I was wrong. I've told this story before. I'll tell it again real quick. 10th grade trigonometry and analytics class, and we were working a problem in class, and I mean, I worked it over and over and over again. I kept coming up with a different answer than the back of the book. The person in front of me said, yeah, your answer looks right to me. I said, my answer looks right to me. The person behind me said, your answer looks right to me. I went up to the teacher and I said, I think I found an error in the back of the book. And she looked at it for 15 seconds. Might not have been that long. It said 9 times 7 is 63, not 56. She corrected me. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, dwell. Fill your church with joy.